Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this ninth day of October 2025. And tonight, my courageous board operator and producer, not afraid to work Fridays when all the weird things happen here. None other than Style.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Oh, I'm okay tonight, Style. I'm glad it's not Friday, though. Anyhow, weird things happen here in the studio on Fridays. But anyhow, now we have here in the studio with me being on Friday night, two mighty Christian soldiers. And we'll go with her from right to right. The elder, Randall Barkley.
Good evening, everyone. God is in control.
And the legendary Pastor Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone.
Okay. And you heard her, the cackling rose, none other than Little Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay, and so we got to get started tonight. Going back to our scripture, because, you know, when we talked about when God listens, hush. When God speaks, listen. When God speaks, listen. We start out with the Lord telling you exactly who he is. And tonight we're going to be in Leviticus chapter 20. Now, the very first command that God gave man was to be fruitful and multiply.
That's right.
And by the time he hit Genesis 9:7, he'd already given that command three times, to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth. Just exactly the opposite of what that Supreme Court did in 1973. Exactly the opposite of what the world tells us. And then, so tonight we're going to pick it up here in Leviticus chapter 20. And here's, you know, what God has to say about taking life. Because right now we know Scripture says that those that hate God love death. And we see the death culture on the left out there. They're trying to get a civil war started. We've been telling people, we were out there saying, here's their goal. Well, you know, it's come out finally with all what we're going to talk about tonight. And they've chosen death. And he tells you over in Deuteronomy 30, verses 19, this day I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, so choose life so that you and your seed may live. Okay. And so, Randall, go ahead and read verses Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech, to defile my sanctuary, and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among the people.
Okay, so what he's talking about here, when they sacrifice their children, they're talking about to Molech. This was a horrible thing, and you wonder how can people be so wicked? But they are, even today. You know, there's a lot of child sacrifice taking place, and people are finally recognizing it, all these missing children. And it's that chemical in the blood when that they're after, the elite. They want to continue to try to keep their youth by drinking the blood of children.
Adrenochrome.
Yeah, adrenochrome
is what you're talking about. That's happening. We've reported on this for years. We've reported on this. And there, those on the left out there, they hate God and they do love death. Okay, it's wickedness, and this is what we're up against. It's you know, we're talking about. We're not talking about the Democrats of our grandfather, right? These are complete different people. Okay,
right.
And we're seeing what Scripture says, that the wicked will become more wicked and the righteous become more righteous. We're seeing that great divide in the country right now.
Yeah.
You're seeing revival breaking out in many, many places. At the same time, you're seeing now the those on the left, the Democratic Party, more and more are choosing Satanism as their religion. They're choosing to be Satanists, okay? They're going all the way that way. You're seeing today, like, you just had this commercial with Chuckie Schumer, and he came out, he did a commercial about the Schumer shutdown.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Huh?
I didn't see that, no.
Well, they keep showing it because he comes out and he drops the F-bomb.
Right. Jeez.
Drops the F-bomb. Yeah, he right there on, you know, the profanity among them is getting worse and worse. You know, when you and I were young, you very seldom ever heard a woman use profanity. I mean,
I was in my, I think, early 20s before I heard a woman use profanity.
And nowadays, they're worse many times. You know, if you look at these so-called congresswomen, Tlaib and that Presley, and they've got some filthy, I mean, very filthy mouths out there.
Yeah. That's the totality of their vocabulary.
Yeah. Well, usually there's three reasons when people use that kind of profanity. One, it's like you say, very limited vocabulary.
Yes.
Two, a very, very poor upraising.
Yeah.
And three, a low IQ.
Right.
And probably a low self-image. You know, they're thinking they're lifting themselves up by using such language.
Well, when asked why, what is going on all of a sudden, when these women were being interviewed, why are you using profanity? By the way, they're taking God's name in vain more and more too, and taking and boy, you know, the GD this, GD that, and their answer was, they're using the profanity to show us how angry they are. See, they've got this mindset of, if we believe that they're very, very angry, then we're more likely to step back and give them their way. I don't think that's working very well for them, is it?
No. All we do is look at them as lower on the totem pole of humanity.
It's getting worse and worse now. So here, they've only got one remedy. one remedy. We try to tell them, look, you've got two options. You either repent or perish. Repent or perish, okay? And they don't quite seem to get it. Some do. There's been a number that have come out and, said, you know, we've gone too far with this, and they've realized this, and there's been a lot with the revival of things that's going on around the country out there, and that's the good news there.
Yeah.
But here, when he's talking about sacrificing their children to Moloch, of course, that was a horrible thing that they did. The idea was when they slid the children down those heated up, red-hot heated arms of Moloch, and the child screamed,
Jesus.
That the greater the pain the child felt, the greater the pleasure they would have in orgies. They would do that, and then they would have orgies, okay? And remember, that was the one sin that God punished. The ultimate punishment, he reduced them to cannibalism. He reduced them to where they had to eat each other, okay, because of their wickedness. And today, again, whether you offer up your child to the god of Moloch, to the god of convenience, if it's a god of convenience, right? I remember having a woman tell me she's going to kill that baby because she didn't want to have stretch marks.
Wow.
Oh, goodness.
You talk about selfish, and you talk about evil, and you talk about wicked, okay?
Yes.
And I had heard another one say she's had 6 abortions, this will be the 7th, and she does it because she can. That's evil. I mean, that is evil, evil.
Yes.
So, but past abortion, as you know, Richard, because you did a lot of nursing home ministries, what Cuomo did to the nursing homes, but not just Cuomo, but others, and that governor of New York right now, the one that's there today, when they put those people that had the COVID in there, they did it on purpose in the nursing homes and killed all the elderly, spread that COVID to the people. Somebody should have been charged with murder, first-degree murder and all that. But it's death. The death culture, there's a death culture today in this country out there. And so now here, what is God saying? God is saying not only should those people that commit such things be put to death, but the people, if the people are aware, like our corrupt prosecutors, our very corrupt prosecutors, there's so corrupt prosecutors out there, that keep turning these guys, these criminals, loose on the people, like Bragg in New York, and you see all of these criminals coming down, been arrested 20, 25, 30 times, killing people, raping women, killing people, killing children, just like there in Chicago, corrupt in Chicago, and that mayor, that Johnson, that guy's corrupt as the day is long, and Pritzker, they actually, and I have no doubts in my mind that that Johnson's the head of the crime cartel in Chicago. And he doesn't have a problem with little children being shot in the head over the weekends. I mean, every weekend, it's a slaughter zone there in Chicago. But the same thing is the corruption there in Portland, Oregon. You know, it's interesting, in Portland, Oregon, where you have Antifa, you have them out there rioting, you have them setting police cars on fire, you have them setting buildings on fire, throwing bricks at people, pulling guns on and ICE agents, and here, the mayor and the governor call that a peaceful protest. They call that a peaceful protest.
Wow.
Come on.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, but that's what's so. But he's telling you here that not just the people that do that, but if the people know that those are committing these crimes, And they don't stop them. Right. They don't stop them.
Turn a blind eye.
Uh-huh. They turn a blind eye, then they will be cut off.
Mm-hmm.
God said he will cut them off.
And also their families.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, so God is very serious about this when he's talking about it.
Well, yeah. You know, he did that, the situation with Achan and his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, it says, then will I set my face against the man and against his family.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that with Korah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And so turn to Proverbs 24. And Richard, read verses 10, 11, and 12.
If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart considereth, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?
Well, you know, this whole thing with Charlie Kirk, and they're having, in fact, they're having another memorial service, and here coming up, okay, I just had that, and I wanted to, now I just lost it, but I'll find it. Here you go. Coming up here, I have to make this announcement. Courageous Faith Rally, U.S. Senate resolution declaring Tuesday, October 14th, National Day of Remembrance for Charlie Kirk, okay? And that is going to be held here locally from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at 424 North Street in Chardon, Ohio, 44024. Again, that's here Tuesday, October 14th, National Day of Remembrance for Charlie Kirk. Now, and that address, again, is 424 North Street in Chardon, Ohio. Now, what was it that Charlie Kirk did so good? He was teaching the young, especially the young men, to be bold. Boldness, boldness, boldness. Okay. Mm-hmm. For over 50 years, that's what we were preaching on the radio here in the ministry. We were going, we were going state to state to the Shake the Nation conference, where we were going from different major cities preaching, trying to awaken the pastors for boldness, the pro-life movement out there. We started early, back in the early 70s, and we would get out and we would have these big rallies. We would hold rallies and try to encourage the pastors to be bold enough to lead the people and the people. Well, we did rescue a lot of people. We did set down a lot of abortion mills. And, you know, a lot of us went to jail. We went to jail I've been arrested numerous times, as you know that, for doing the right thing, okay? And here we're coming to a time where the left is pushing hard for a civil war.
Yeah.
And if the right doesn't to rise up, and rise up hard and bold and push back, push it down, it's going to be a bloody, bloody mess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the test is. The right has to rise up and do it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Biden brought in over 20 million radicals in this country. You've got the Unholy Alliance or the Unholy Confederacy out there. You've got all of these Democrat organizations, Antifa, mm-hmm. Burn, loot, and murder. You've got LGBTQ. You've got the radical Islam mm-hmm. jihadists out there. You've got the MS-13s. You've mm-hmm. got all of these gangs. And it's known to have 50,000 nationalist Chinese military on our soil. Mm-hmm. And so all that's here.
Yeah.
But we have 300 million people, and out of that 300 million, there's an estimated 12 million or so that would be willing to stand up and fight, you know, mm-hmm. protect. And that's not a lot out of 300 million, is there?
Mm-mm.
But America is an armed camp.
Yeah.
But we have to be prepared to stand. And,
yeah.
you know.
And it's not just the Civil War, Pastor. This is really good versus evil. When you look at the persecution, really that's across the globe, but it's like it's proliferating more here, if you would. We're seeing more and more churches being attacked here. And, you know, they're looking, there's actually a threat out right now where Islamic jihadists are, they want them to attack churches. So we really have to understand what this is.
Yeah, know. We have a clip that we loaded in. Maybe, I don't know why all the phone lines are ringing so early today. We haven't opened the phone lines yet. But it looks like the board keeps lighting up here. Okay, we're just... Just
I think they want to
program.
Talk to you, Pastor.
Yeah, they're anxious here.
Could be. Something's going on. And, maybe Style will let us know what's going on here. But anyhow, so...
We're having a little bit of trouble in New York, it seems.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
We're having problems in New York. Now, it's time to pray.
That's right.
Yes.
Start with you. Go ahead.
Amen. Father God, we just come before you, Lord God. We come to you because we know that, Father God, you are in control. There is nothing too hard. You said that men ought to always pray and not to faint. The kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And, Father God, we just stand right now, Father God, and we ask, Father God, for you to send, Father God, if necessary, the ministering, the warring angels, Lord God. We know that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, but, Father God, he is not, Father God, sovereign. He is not in control. Father God, you are. And we pray for these airways to open in New York. We pray, Father God, for your hearers, Father God, those that need to hear your word. If there's ever a place that needs to hear the word right now, it is certainly New York, Father God, with this Mondami running for mayor, Father God, and all of the evil that he wants to do in that state, Father God. We need you right now, and we call on you, Father God, to rectify this situation in the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, we say the Lord is against you right now.
Amen, Richard.
We just continue that prayer, Lord, and we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for just loving us and taking care of us. And as we depend on your word to teach us and direct all our steps, Lord, we just pray that the believers out there would put on the whole armor of God. Let them protect themselves from this spiritual warfare and also protect themselves from the physical situations that are going on. But we know that it's more spiritual than physical,
yes.
And we know that we have to stand with the whole armor of God, Lord. Mm-hmm. So let them rely on that to strengthen them and to have that word and that helmet of salvation. Yeah. That's the most important thing. And we just pray for that, for those people.
Yes, God.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, you know, the New York station, Father, we're in all five boroughs there in New York, on that station. And a lot of people listening to that station out there. And we know, Father God, that there in New York City, boy, if there's anywhere that needs the word of God,
yes.
Boy, if they,
yes.
It's New York City. New
yes.
York City really needs the word of God. And so, Father God, we just would ask, Lord, that those that are trying to take us down tonight,
yes.
Lord, that you would intervene, you would go in, and, Lord, you would push them out.
Yes,
and Father God,
yes.
keep us back on the air, Lord. We ask these things, and there's some good people we know that work at that radio station there in New York, and we know that they'll do whatever they can to get us back on. But to come against those out there, Lord, we know that it seems like the more we use AI to put up a firewall to keep them out, the more they find out how to break the firewall and get back in. And so, Lord, again, we ask that you would come against all of those that are coming
yes,
against
Lord.
Us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
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 And so we're going to go to a break. We'll be back right after this.
Face the flag of stars and bars.
Face the flag, son. Read what's written there. The history, the progress, the heritage we share. Our flag reflects the past, son, but stands for so much more. And in this age of Aquarius, it still flies in the forward. It leads the forward movement shared by all mankind to learn, to love, to live with peace of mind. To learn the mysteries of space as well as those of Earth. To love each man for what he is, regardless of his birth. To live without the fear of reprisal for belief. To ease the tensions of a world that cries out for relief.
Face the flag of stars and bars, of red and white and blue. The flag that guarantees the rights for men like me and
face the flag, son. Take a good long look. What you're seeing now can't be found in a history book. It's the present, the future, son. It's being written now. And you're the one to write it. The flag can show you how. Do you know what it stands for? What its makers meant? To think, to speak, the privilege of dissent. To think our leaders might be wrong, to stand and tell them so. These are the things that other men under other flags will never know. But responsibility, that's the cross that free men must bear. If you don't accept that, freedom isn't there.
Face the flag of stars and bars, of red and white.
Face the flag, son, and face reality. Our strength and our freedoms are based in unity. The flag is but a symbol, son, of the world's greatest nation. As long as it keeps flying, there's cause for celebration. So do what you gotta do, but always keep in mind, a lot of people believe in peace, but there are the other kind. We want to keep these freedoms. We may have to fight again, God forbid. But if we do, let's always fight to win. The fate of a loser is futile. It's bare. No love, no peace, just misery and despair. Face the flag, son, and thank God it's still there.
Alrighty, we are back, and this coming Sunday, Lord's willing, at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, I'm going to be preaching in the morning service on temptation. Now, like we were talking about earlier, we could find ourselves in a civil war. Mm-hmm. And we've been so blessed in this country that, you know, when we take a look at Israel, we want to praise the good Lord for what took place in Israel today. Okay, and we see what's happening in the Ukraine. And boy, did we uncovered a lot of new information on how that war in Ukraine got started with Russia, who was behind all of that. And so here, what happens in warfare when, you know, these people come and like they did, and they killed children and burnt, you know, families, and that can just enrage a person to the point where all they want is vengeance. That's a natural.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to always remember, if we continue to respond like them, then we become them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we must always keep a high standard and always remember where who our commander in chief is.
Yeah.
and yes. The real commander-in-chief. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm. There's a lot of areas, too, today that we're going to be preaching. I just recently was talking to some folks, and there's a couple, a married couple, that they go and they take separate vacations. And one goes to a foreign country for some events that's taking place there, and the other one goes to Las Vegas. Or the woman goes to Las Vegas with her their girlfriends. Now, you know, there's a saying that what plays in Vegas stays in Vegas, but it doesn't. You talk about a recipe for divorce, okay?
Yeah.
To do that. And they see the temptations out there today with, especially now with all of this, what they call open marriage. Mm-hmm. And there's some other things that they're calling these new...
arrangements.
Right.
Yeah.
Arrangements.
Yeah.
And they're saying that what you get from the Bible is just man's, that's just... traditions of men, anyhow, and the mindset. And here's the thing. It's even the science involved. These people that open their marriage, within 4 years, 94% of them are divorced within 4 years. Then it's almost 100% divorce rate.
Wow.
So... But they don't seem to ever learn. It doesn't seem to register with these people, right? Mm-hmm. And then they say, well, what do we do wrong? Well, because they have these reports out there that it makes the marriage stronger. unbelievable. How stupid is stupid?
Well, many of them have, in essence, kind of rewritten the Bible. They write their own vows. So, and they don't know that the two become one. So it's just whatever's in their imagination. That's what they, kind of come up with.
Yeah, it is. It is really bad, okay, out there in that area. So the temptation, that's what I'm going to be preaching. We're going to take a look at different areas and how the Bible deals with those in the different areas of temptation.
And, well, you shouldn't put yourself in situations that you're going to be tempted about. I had a fella ask me this week about, he says, oh, well, I get temptations because of some of my dreams. I said, what are you doing before you go to sleep? Watching TV or reading your Bible? I says, if you're having trouble with bad dreams, I said, spend more time reading the Bible right before you fall asleep. I says, I would venture to say that you're not going to have that kind of problem if you spend time in the Word.
Oh, absolutely. Not just that, but often there are some good old-time preachers out there, and that you can listen right on my smart aleck phone. I've been listening to some messages from Billy Graham. I was amazed at his message that he preached on, what was the last topic? I know the last thing I did was on cremation versus, burial, okay? Mm-hmm. But he had preached, I can't remember right now because I listened to so many different, what the message was. But it was really, because, he's usually like a mild preacher, but he was really, really... into it, really bold, really with righteous indignation. And
a little fire and brimstone.
Yeah, yeah.
Aging. And,
absolutely. And so I was amazing. And then I've listened to sometimes just recently John MacArthur, too. John MacArthur's had some, all these guys have passed away recently. Mm-hmm. In fact, this year, a number of them, MacArthur. And Jimmy Swaggart, actually, they want to put Jimmy Swaggart in. They want to group him in with the prosperity preachers. But Jimmy Swaggart preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. He was not a prosperity preacher. Prosperity preachers don't preach the gospel. They preach prosperity, okay? And greed, basically.
Mostly their greed.
Yeah, absolutely. And so sometimes, like, you know, because even when I get off the air, I'll listen to it, you know, and sometimes I'll fall asleep listening to some of those, you know, early in the morning, very early in the morning. But yeah. Then you'll have different dreams, huh?
Yeah, if you focus on the things of God, it's going to affect your dreams. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people like think that that doesn't matter, or they want to fall asleep watching TV, and that's probably one of the worst ways to fall asleep, because it certainly is so perverted on so many things on the channels and that. But, you know, if you spend time in the Word right before you go to sleep, and then when you get up, pray, and then read the Word, a part of it, whatever. What I do is I read Proverbs every morning, and whatever Proverbs, the day of the month, today was the 9th, I read Proverbs 9 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go out, then I get going. But you're getting your day going the way it's supposed to be with the Word of God,
yeah.
And then you close the day off mm-hmm. when you go to sleep with the Word of God.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. I don't know, it. I know for me, it keeps my mind very clear, and my dreams are normally pleasant dreams.
Yeah, well, the Bible, you know, we know that every person is tempted, and that temptation can come in different forms, and my temptation may not be yours, but sure. We all have temptation. But the Bible tells us that the Lord will provide a way of escape for you to get out of that temptation, and also that every man ought to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. And so once you know, just saying, hey, Jesus, save me, and I'm not taking anything away from that, he can save you. But then you have to learn how to walk through whatever you're dealing with. And so many people have, you know, the vast areas of life that they have come from, maybe having been molested or whatever it is,
yeah.
you have to get the help that you need to work through that, and you have to understand how to possess your vessel. And so real quick, if I had a temptation for cigarettes, I used to smoke cigarettes, well, I need to learn that there may be certain places that I don't need to go, or understand that going around people that are smoking could be a trigger for me. And so there's a lot to learn in that, and that's why it's necessary to be in a Bible-based church, that where somebody can help you kind of, you know, get through some of those things, understand that.
Yeah, and direct you in passages that are going to relate to that.
Yeah.
You know, and not hammer the Word down to you, but just say, try reading this, or see if, and give you some ideas on how to handle the temptations.
That's
and
right.
things, you know,
right.
Like you said, with the cigarettes, like, you know, I know some people, they quit drinking because alcohol was a real problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then they say, well, my buddies go in, so I just go in and have a ginger ale.
Yeah.
That's getting way too close to temptation.
Exactly.
You can't do that.
Exactly.
You're going to have to lose some friends, I'm afraid, when you change your lifestyle. And that's just life.
Yeah, and some people only know him as Savior, but he is also the Lord of your life. And the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You have some people that just, they don't know that they can be free. I had a young lady in our Sunday school class one time, and she didn't know that she could be free. She thought that the sin that she was in, it was like, I just have to go through this. And it's like, she knew about Jesus, or at least the Savior part, but didn't know about the Lordship part. So.
Well, and that goes along with that idea of a personal relationship with mm-hmm. Jesus. You know, he's somebody we can go to and ask. We don't have to go through somebody else.
Right.
We go directly to Jesus.
Yeah.
He's taken that away so we can go right to Jesus, and he's the one that's going to guide us. And what do we have? The Word became flesh and walked among us.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that he's going to speak to us through the Word.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Lord Jesus says, go to the Father in his name, that we have open access right now to go to the Father. And he's the one intercessor between God and man, is the Lord Jesus. And so, you know, and yeah, we, we have to realize that we're living in times, and this is why when I'm talking about the temptations, because there's going to be new temptations with all this technology out there today.
Yeah.
And the idea, too, like, you know, these, I don't think people should be giving their children these smartphones. I don't think they should, you know, mm-hmm. you know, until they.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they have phones or if they have some of that technology, there has to be some time downtime where they don't have it constantly in their hands or in their ears.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, unfortunately, a lot of parents use smartphones or the TV or different things as babysitters.
Yeah.
And that's really dangerous because you're allowing other people to influence your little babies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just scary.
Well, you know, that was one of the things in our church. You know, Richard, we've always done things that the way in the church that the New Testament church in the Bible did. And, you know, when it comes to coming to church, we believe just like in the early days, in the early church and in the early days of this country, when you brought the family came to church, the family sat together, okay? And the children sat with their parents because the idea is your goal with children is to someday that they become adults. You know, you raise them up in the admonition of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't do that by when you get to the church right away, the kids go off to Sunday school or something. And we believe in doing it the way it's worked for years. And there are times, and I know that children, see, listen to this. Children can be children. Children can be children. In other words, I've had some of the mothers get a little paranoid thinking, oh, I'm so sorry the child, you know, caused a commotion or in the service. Adults have to learn that children are children, right?
Yeah.
And so we have to learn that, yeah, that's how kids will behave, but they have to learn, children learn that there are times when you have to honor the moment and, you know, times at a funeral, you have to learn to be quiet, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's called discipline or weddings.
You know, a child, if they can sit in front of a TV tube and be quiet for a period of time, whatever, then they can sit there in a church building and listen to a sermon and be quiet or pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they can't, then they need to be disciplined so that they will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting you said that about the children in the congregation. We went, back when our children were smaller, we went to a large Baptist church in Cleveland. And we had the children in the congregation, you know, in the assembly, because that's how we always do it. The pastor comes over to us and says, we have a place for the children. They need to be in these classes.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, no, our children stay with us.
Yeah.
And the pastor got right in our face. No, that's not what we do. Your children need to go somewhere else. And I says, and this is a Baptist church, well known. If I said the name, you'd immediately know it. And I told him, I said, you won't have that problem anymore with us.
Yeah.
And we never went back.
Yeah.
That's when you came to us, probably a long time ago.
That was, I don't know when the time frame was, but it was like, you know, but if the parents want the children in the assembly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the children are obedient. I mean, they are obedient to us. It wasn't a problem. They weren't making any noise or doing anything. It was just, this pastor did not like the idea of the children in the assembly. You know.
Yeah. So. And it's something that some people, I don't know if they really understand that Satan really tries to gain a foothold in a person's life when they are young.
Yeah.
And the one story in the Bible that kind of intrigues me was when Jesus had given power to his disciples to cast out spirits, unclean spirits, and all those things. But then they came across the Father whose son. All of the disciples, they couldn't cast him out. And when Jesus came back down, he wanted to try to find out what was going on. And as he questioned the Father, You know, he said the question that stood out, he said, was of how long ago has this spirit come to him? And he said of a child.
Yeah.
And so, of course, we know the rest of the story. He went on and cast them out and then, of course, told them why they couldn't do it, because this kind of only goes out but by prayer and fasting. But it just goes to show that from a child. And so you really have to guard your child, as Pastor was saying, and what they watch, what you allow them, you know, what they set before their eyes. Because even in some of the things that you think are appropriate, some of the Disney things like that, they are filled with innuendos and things that would have your child going into sexual perversion and different things like that. So you really have to guard and watch and do your homework on what you set before them.
Absolutely. You know, when it comes to people worried about the children causing a disturbance during the service, I'm very tolerant with the children. It's the adults that when you're in there and you're preaching and I look over there and I see some of these women talking, I don't have a lot of tolerance for that. You don't do that. And so I usually have ways of getting their attention when that happens.
Yeah, I always said if you don't hear children during a sermon in the background, you got a dying congregation.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a dying congregation if there's not some noise in the background with the children or making noise or something, because children do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, see, again, remember, the idea is children. This is why it's so important, like homeschooling. You take your children, mm-hmm. and you have co-ops where you go and you do things with other families, other parents.
Yeah, and children playing with children is good.
That's good, but the thing of it is, you know, they learn to be adults by watching adults, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where it says, parents, raise up your children in the admonition. Mm-hmm. The opposition, what do they want to do? They want to immediately separate the children from their parents.
Okay? Yeah, and what do you do? What you end up doing is you have a child and you take them to a play area on a Sunday or something all the time. You do that over and over again, and then you have special classes for them. And then all of a sudden they walk into the assembly. Now they're of age or whatever you want to call it, and now they're supposed to know what they're supposed to do? No. How are they going to know what to do?
Yeah.
So there you go. Now, I hope you folks all learned something out there. there you go. Tonight. Well, we have some articles, and I'll start. Lisa,
I know she's.
She wants. She told all her friends that she's going to be talking on the radio here.
Yeah. Did she do that? Yeah, called them up today.
No.
Yeah. Well,
said tune in. She told them both of them.
No.
Huh?
Well, when I said she called all her friends, I didn't mean that she made a lot of calls.
Oh, wow. Pastor.
All right, let's go. We'll let Lisa go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, this is by Joe Kovacs. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem is revealing bounties of up to $10,000 have been put on the heads of federal agents encouraging Americans to murder officers enforcing U.S. immigration laws. Gangs, cartel members, and known terrorist organizations have placed bounties on the heads of several of our law enforcement officers, Noem posted Sunday on X. Quote, these violent riots are not about free speech. This is the rule of law versus anarchy. We will win. U.S. cities, including Portland, Oregon, and Chicago, have been the scene of increasing attacks against ICE officers in recent days. And during an appearance on Fox and Friends Sunday morning, Noem detailed the bounties that urge Americans to kidnap or kill the federal officers. Quote, our intelligence indicates that these people are organized. They're getting more and more people on their team as far as attacking officers, and they're making plans to ambush them and to kill them. We have specific officers and agents that have bounties that have been put on their heads. It's been $2,000 to kidnap them, $10,000 to kill them. They've released their pictures. They've sent them between their networks, and it's an extremely dangerous situation and unprecedented. Noem said, quote, protective detail has been placed around the targeted officers, and DHS has, quote, changed some of our operations to keep our officers safe. But make no mistake, she added, this isn't just about protesting free speech or that they don't like that people are out here upholding the law of our country. They're actually going out there and saying, kill these people, and we'll give you this much money to do it.
And you have these people like that mayor there in Chicago and the governor there and there in Portland that they're not saying directly kill them, but the message they're putting out there, if you do, we'll support you. That's that's the message they want to put out there. But you have an article there, Randy.
I was just going to say, can't they trace who's doing these bounties and that?
Right.
I mean...
Oh, yeah, they are. This is a number of these things. The money is coming from George Soros' organization, but some of these bounties are coming. Yeah, they have. They've arrested several of these drug cartel leaders from these drug cartels.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have arrested them and for paying, putting bounties on people.
Uh-huh. Good. Mm-hmm. Well, there should be a very severe punishment for them.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, if you make it severe enough, people will stop doing it because they don't want the consequences.
Well, right. Like I was saying, this is going to be a war now. The Democratic Communist Party is pushing for a full-scale civil war. They're pushing for that. We've been trying to tell people. Yeah. All the chatter, if you listen to what's going on, you know, there with all the chatter, what's happening, this is, you know, they've tried lawfare. Look, you've got, when I talk about evil, great, great evil within that, all of the elite within the left there are, again, well, put it this way, you got 500,000 missing children. So that tells you something right there.
Yeah.
This thing with this Prince Andrew, whatever, here, the king's brother, okay? He was being exposed. I mean, and a lot of these young women have come out and said, yeah, he raped them. He raped them. Mm-hmm. And so what's happened is they've got big, big money, and things happen to these young women that come out and talk, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, but it's they're pushing for an all-out civil war. And our side has to be stand up hard and tough, not stand back and say, no, we're going to have zero tolerance. You
That's
come
right.
out here, you start, because like they were saying, they want to go out into the suburbs and shoot white children, okay? You come out there to shoot, and you're going to get shot.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's the message we have to put back out there, okay?
Exactly.
And so... And you know, these people, the people in Chicago, the people in Illinois, they're begging for Trump to send in a National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sent it in from Texas. And Trump, if he declares the Insurgency Act, then he can order that Illinois National Guard to go out there, too.
Yeah.
And if he can do that, he could have that Pritzker. And Pritzker says, bring it on. You know, you have to go through me. These people, again, like Trump said before, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you, I'm just in the way. That's true. That's the way they saw Charlie Clerk. Again, you know, and because they knew that this guy was on top of the line for 2028 to be there as vice president candidate, and they wanted to stop that right away. So we're coming up to a break. We'll be back. After that, we have a whole lot to talk about. Is there other stations besides New York? Well, praise the good Lord for it. It's just New York. I'm hoping, we're praying that they get back online.
Yeah,
we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away out there, folks.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.